Okay, so let's think about this. What if investing in property back home, suddenly got a huge new challenge, but maybe also a new opportunity, especially for Australians living overseas?
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're digging into your sources to really untangle what's happening with Australian expat mortgages and property investment. Our mission really is to boil down these critical changes and show you where the real value might lie now if you're looking to invest back home. So let's kick off with the biggest news. There's a really significant regulatory shift coming in 2025. The Foreign Investment Review Board, FIRB,
Ah, yes, FIRB.
they're bringing in a new rule. And starting early 2025, non-resident Australian citizens will actually be prohibited from buying established residential property. That's, well, that's a huge departure from how things have been for decades.
It really is. And the crucial bit here is understanding what non-resident actually means in this context. To be considered ordinarily resident, you need to have been physically in Australia for 200 days or more in the previous 12 months.
And importantly, not be on a temporary visa. It's not just a restriction, you see. It's a very strategic move by the policymakers. They're trying to guide investment.
Right, that distinction is key. So it's not quite a blanket ban. It feels more like a green lane, maybe.
That's a good way to put it.
The policy seems to be funneling expat money into specific types of property, the ones the government likes because they actually increase Australia's housing stock. So what is allowed then?
Okay, so you can still go for new dwellings. Off the plan properties are fine. Vacant land too, though usually with a condition like you have to build a new place on it within, say, 4 years. And also properties covered by those new dwelling exemption certificates. They help streamline approvals for, larger new developments.
Okay, so connecting the dots. The big picture here is that expat money isn't just being stopped, it's being like actively redirected, isn't it?
Precisely. It channels that significant capital. And we're talking about maybe 1 million Aussies living abroad directly into Australia's new construction sector. This lines up perfectly with the national goal, building 1.2 million new homes by 2029.
So your investment basically serves a national development goal now.
In a very direct way, yes.
Okay, so if you're an expat and these rules are guiding where you invest, the next big hurdle is actually getting the mortgage right, especially with foreign income. How complex is that maze?
It definitely has its complexities. Lenders, they heavily discount income earned in foreign currency. It's a practice called income shading.
Income shading, right.
Yeah, and it's to manage the exchange rate risk, This shading, it typically ranges anywhere from, say, 60% up to maybe 90% of your income.
Wow, okay.
So, take an example. You earn $150,000 a year. If the lender applies 80% shading, they only count $120,000 when working out if you can afford the loan.
And that obviously hits your borrowing
Oh,
power.
massively. It could reduce how much you can borrow by hundreds of thousands of dollars.
And I gather it gets even more complicated because not all foreign currencies are, well, born equal in the eyes of the lenders.
Exactly right. They use a kind of tiered system. You've got your tier one, or maybe gold currencies, think US dollars, British pounds, euros, Singapore dollars, Canadian, Hong Kong dollars, yen, Swiss francs, NZD dollars, even some Chinese yuan,
The major ones.
the major stable ones. Yeah. They usually get pretty good treatment, maybe 80 to 100% acceptance before other calculations. But then you have tier two or silver currencies like the UAE dirham, Qatari rial, Saudi rial, South African rand. They face much tougher shading, often down around that 60 to 80% mark. And another really critical point, especially for expats in places with low or zero income tax, like the UAE, Singapore, Hong Kong, many Australian lenders will just default to using Australian PAYG tax rates when assessing your income, which of course can seriously cut down your borrowing capacity.
Right, because they assume a higher tax burden than you actually have.
Exactly. But there are a small number of specialist lenders out there who will actually assess you using your real foreign tax rate and finding them. That can dramatically boost how much you can borrow.
So documentation must be absolutely crucial then.
Absolutely paramount. You'll need recent payslips, your employment contract, bank statements showing salary credits, tax returns, all of it. And it needs to be in English or have a certified translation. And just be aware, things like bonuses or commissions often face extra shading, or sometimes lenders disregard them completely.
So, okay, it's not just about income anymore. This whole shift, it feels like it demands a completely new skill set, particularly for brokers helping expats navigate this.
No question.
They suddenly need to be experts in construction loans,
Yeah.
right? Understanding things like, what is it, progressive drawdowns.
That's right. How the loan funds are released in the stages as the building progresses, and also as if complete valuations, getting the property valued based on its expected worth after it's built. Plus, handling all the specialized documents like really solid fixed price building contracts and making sure the builder's insurance is watertight.
So the broker's role is changing significantly.
It really expands almost into a kind of project risk manager.
Mm-hmm.
You know, given the challenges we've seen in the Australian construction industry with insolvencies and such.
Yeah, that's a big concern.
It is. So vetting the builder, checking their financial health, that's become absolutely critical. Building strong relationships, strong partnerships with reputable developers and builders is now key. It gives you access to good quality projects and helps streamline the whole process.
Yeah.
It really turns what was a general market into a very high value specialist niche.
Okay, so wrapping this up for you listening, what this all really means is this isn't the end of the expat property investment market, not at all, but it's definitely becoming a much clearer, highly specialized path. Success seems to hang on having two things. That deep expertise in the foreign income lending policies we talked about.
Yes.
And a really robust understanding of construction finance.
Absolutely. The brokers, the advisors, anyone in this space who really gets this profound shift, who invests in learning these new skills and builds those crucial strategic partnerships.
Yeah.
They won't just survive this change. They're likely to thrive. They'll dominate a really lucrative part of the market that, as we said, also contributes significantly to Australia's economy.
So here's a final thought for you to mull over. As all this expat capital gets strategically pushed towards new construction, what knock-on effects might this have on the broader Australian housing market? And how are these kinds of global investment trends really reshaping our national development? What other maybe unexpected opportunities or challenges could pop up beyond just the expat investment scene itself?